knees, unable to move, as if somehow I'll disappear and won't have to have this talk now instead of later.
Giovanna,
my father says, his voice washing over me like I'm a little kid again, waiting to be punished for my stupid shit. I don't turn around because Joe Gallo is a sweet man, but every guy, even my dad, has his breaking point. I'm pretty sure I've punched right through that ceiling without even trying. Hey, Daddy.
You and me, outside.
Just talk here and grab a cup of coffee. I'll go see what's taking Pike and James so long. Izzy catches my eye, giving me a small wink, before she sashays right the fuck out of there, not even worried that my dad's gonna blow a fucking gasket. Daddy.
Save it, baby girl.
I bow my head, staring at my coffee, and ready myself for the biggest ass-chewing of my life.
Chapter 16. Pike. We have a problem, James says into the phone, staring at me from across the desk with his lips set in a firm line. You're the only man I could think to come to about the situation. I bite the inside of my cheek, rubbing my hands against the wood of the chair my ass has been planted in for hours, taking James's questions in rapid-fire succession. I know what fucking time it is, but I couldn't wait until your old ass decided to get out of bed. My mouth falls open. No one has ever talked to Tiny, the president of the Disciples MC, that way. At least, I'd never heard them do it, because Tiny would have pounded their face in until they were black and blue, sucking their food through a straw for the next 2 months. James laughs. You never were an early bird, you old fuck. I blink a few times, wondering who the fuck James is to Tiny, and how they know each other well enough that they can laugh while insulting the hell out of each other. I have your kid Pike here. James pauses, eyes sweeping over my face. Yeah, he's in one piece, alive and breathing, sitting right in front of me. I begged James not to call Tiny, pleaded with him not to get the Disciples MC involved, but he told me not to be a fucking moron and picked up the phone like it meant nothing to call in a favor. Just sit there and keep your mouth shut, James told me before he dialed Tiny's number from memory, surprising the fuck out of me. So here I sit, watching James as he takes my business into his own hands, giving help where I didn't ask. But this isn't just about me. This is about his niece and the pile of shit she landed in just by being near me. He has an issue with DeSantis and needs somewhere to lie low. James taps the pen he's holding against the pad of paper he'd been taking notes on like he was working my case too. Couldn't think of anyone with enough manpower and weapons outside of law enforcement who would look after the kids except you and the boys. I shake my head, surprised James is asking Tiny for help. Not just Tiny, but a motorcycle club that has many wearing the badge shaking in their fancy, polished boots. It's serious. Pike's mom ain't breathing no more because of the shit his father's in with DeSantis. I close my eyes, rubbing my fingers into the corners, wondering where the fuck my normal life has gone. Now my mother's dead, lying somewhere cold with a bullet lodged in the back of her head. My brother's God knows where, hopefully with my grandmother. And my dad's gone missing because he's a fucking coward and a criminal. My niece is involved too, Tiny. She'll need safe haven and a guarantee you'll protect her with your life. I'm trusting you more than I've ever trusted anyone who is in blood by asking you for this favor. That shit ain't no lie. Gigi said her uncle worked for the DEA, but had since retired, now owning a private investigation firm. But from the sounds of it, he's not entirely out of the game. I'll owe you, and you know I always pay my debts. James tells him, still staring at me with a look I can't quite place, and I'm not sure I'd want to, even if I could. I'll drive them over after nightfall. You're going to have to keep them out of sight until this shit blows over. I don't want them traceable. No eyes can fall on them. The FBI has already questioned Pike, and I don't want them getting their hands on him again. No man, no matter how much he hates his father, should be put in this position. Just keep them safe, and I'll come for them when shit blows over. James, I want to argue with him because I'm not sure hiding out with a badass biker crew at their compound is the best idea. He covers the phone with his hand, mouthing, "Not now, just keep quiet." I raise my eyebrows and twist my lips, biting back the words I want to say so badly. "We'll be there around one. Be ready for us. I'm dropping them off at our meeting place and heading out. I'll have two cars following, making sure no one is on our tail. I want them untraceable." James leans back, laughing with Tiny before he presses his finger to the phone screen, ending the call. "Go get some sleep. You have a long day and night ahead of you," he tells me, not even wanting to discuss the plans he made on my behalf. I don't move because I'm not ready, and I'm sure as fuck not used to being ordered around. "How exactly do you know Tiny? Because from what I can tell, neither of you run in the same circles." "You know I worked for the DEA, yeah?" I nod. "We most certainly weren't friends back in the day, but there was a mutual respect, because I wasn't out to pop him or his club for the dumb bullshit they were pulling back then. The Sun Devils were our target, and they were the mortal enemy of the Disciples. Let's just say Tiny was happy to see that MC put behind bars." "Wait, he helped you?" James shakes his head. "Fuck no, he's not a narc. But when I started my own company and needed information, I went to Tiny, made peace, and paid him for intel I couldn't get through any legal channels."
"That's it. You paid him for information, and now you're sending us there, thinking Tiny's going to protect us?"
James studies me as he leans forward, putting his palms together, elbows on the desk, and his mouth resting on the tips of his fingers.
"When I went to Tiny about you because Izzy asked me to look into your past before she took you on, I'd never heard the man speak so highly about someone who wasn't a brother."
He drops his hands to his desk, squaring his shoulders, eyes still on me.
"He talked about you like you were his own kid. A man like Tiny doesn't do that unless you crawled under his skin and made him feel shit he hasn't felt in years. You're up to your neck in shit, and by default, so is my niece. You need to hide out, lie low until shit with your father and DeSantis blows over. I can't think of a better place to put you than a spot that has enough brute force and an arsenal to handle an attack if the man is stupid enough to go after you inside their compound."
"I'd think a man like you would have us under FBI protection instead of the Disciples." James gives a slow shake of his head.
"Even though I worked for the government back in the day, I know how corrupt the system is and how easily people can be bought. I'm not putting my niece somewhere unless I know they can handle the blowback."
I've got nothing left to say. What he's saying is true. If DeSantis wants me dead, I'm a sitting duck unless I hide out, and there's no better place to disappear from radar than at the Disciples' compound.
"Now the sun's up, the day's already fucked because I've been up for hours, and I'll have to listen to Izzy for an eternity as she tears me a new asshole. We'll roll out just after sunset. You tell no one where you're headed, and I mean no one. Not even your grandmother, Pike."
I nod. "I won't tell a soul. Gigi's safety is all that matters."
"If DeSantis's men come..."
I'd throw myself in front of a bullet if it meant she'd be okay. She wouldn't be in this shit if it weren't for me.
"I'll hold you to that. If you don't, I'll make you wish you had taken that bullet instead of what I'd do to you."
I stand, rubbing my hands down the front of my jeans, feeling the day's events finally starting to wash over me. "Understood, James."
"Now go, I have shit to do,"
he says, not moving from his chair and lifting his chin toward the door. I turn the knob, swing and open the door, and come face to face with Gigi's father. Our eyes lock, and I wait for his fist to make a beeline for my jaw, but he just stands there staring at me. "We'll have words when this is done," he says, all joy gone from his voice.
"Yes, sir."
"Now, get gone so I can talk to my brother-in-law." He ticks his head toward the empty hallway. "It's best if I'm not around you right now." By the hardness in his jaw and the coldness in his stare, I'm guessing he knows what went down with Gigi and me in Daytona. This isn't a conversation I want to have with him after being up all night. It's actually not a conversation I want to have with him anytime. But it's one that's going to come whether I like it or not. It's also not a conversation I've ever had to have with a woman's father, because relationships weren't really my thing, and the women I've slept with were usually older and not so attached to their fathers. Got it. Izzy's waiting for you in the kitchen, he says, brushing past me and stalking into James's office before slamming the door right in my face. I expected nothing less. If Gigi were my kid and I were face to face with a guy who'd done the shit I did to her, I'd want to rip his fucking throat out with my bare hands. I couldn't fault the man. I make my way down the long hallway and head toward Izzy's voice. If she weren't talking, I'm not sure I ever would have found the kitchen because the house is probably the biggest one I've ever stepped foot inside.
There you are,
Izzy says as soon as she sees me rounding the corner.
I was beginning to think James was never going to let you out of that room.
Gigi's sitting at the kitchen table, quickly running her fingertips over her cheeks.
I'll show him to his room,
Gigi says to Izzy with her back to me. Izzy raises an eyebrow, eyes moving from me to Gigi.
Your dad is still here. Watch your step, little girl. If you want Pike to still be breathing when the sun sets, don't get cute and try to crawl into his bed, curling yourself around the man for comfort.
So, Gigi did spill our entire sordid, although brief, history together. I'm surprised she kept her shit together this long, even though it's only been 2 days. I'm sure it was impossible for her to maintain the lie about not knowing me, especially after she lost her shit tonight once I was taken in for questioning. Even more, she was probably shaken up after hearing the shit James and I said in the car. All that together was just enough to have Gigi blabbing every last detail.
Got it, Auntie.
Gigi finds her footing before turning around, showing me her tear-stained cheeks and red, puffy eyes. You okay? I ask as my eyes sweep across her face, knowing I'd caused her tears. She nods.
Let me show you to your room,
she says, ignoring the look I'm giving her and the fact that she's been crying. She dips her head toward another hallway, adding to the maze that is James and Izzy's house.
We'll talk after we get some sleep. I want to know that you're okay.
I walk inches behind her, following her wherever she's taken me because I don't care if it's a closet as long as there's enough space for me to stretch my legs and close my eyes. I don't know how I feel just yet. Shit's pretty fucked up and now you've been pulled into the same mess. She stops near an open doorway, leaning against the wall, staring up at me with glassy, bloodshot eyes.
I'm sure Uncle James has a plan.
Reaching out, I wipe away a tear that's resting near the edge of her lashes, ready to fall. Do you know what his plan is, darling? She shakes her head, not moving away from my touch when I let my hand linger. He's sending us to the disciples' compound to lie low. Her eyes grow big as saucers.
He's what?
I nod, just as fucking shocked by that reality as she is. He said it's the safest place. Can't say I disagree with him either, but the compound isn't a place for a girl like you. She wrinkles her nose.
A girl like me?
I sweep my thumb just under her cheekbone, loving the softness against my skin. You're good, Gigi. Pure, even. The disciples' compound is no place for a lady. Gigi's eyes sparkle and she snorts in the most unladylike way.
I've been around bikers my entire life, Pike. I think I can handle whatever happens at their compound without losing my shit and rocking myself in a corner.
These aren't recreational bikers, Gigi. They're hardcore. They live the life. All full of violence, mayhem, booze, drugs, and so much pussy it'll make your head spin. She wraps her hand around my wrist and pulls my arm away from her.
You used to live there, yeah?
I nod.
We'll be safe there. And right about now, I could use a big fucking drink, so the compound sounds like a good place to get lost and forget all this shit.
I don't think James is sending us there to party, babe. She draws her lower lip between her teeth, biting the tender flesh gently.
Then he should send us to a convent. I'm not going into that compound to sit in a dark room day and night playing the role of a scared little girl. I'm letting my hair down, immersing myself in whatever they have to offer for however long they're offering it. You don't like it? Then you can sit in that dark room alone.
Oh, fucking boy. This girl is clueless about so much. She's probably binged every motorcycle show available online, thinking she knows how bikers are. But even Hollywood glorifies the life. If she thinks she can handle watching a guy do blow off some chick's ass while she's stretched out on the pool table for everyone to watch, so be it. She's going to get a hard lesson in the real MC life.
It may be eye-opening, if not entertaining. Just know I'm not leaving your side. You're out of your room, I'm on you like glue. She grins.
I'm counting on that, Pike.
But first, we gotta live long enough to get to that compound. I grab her by the shoulder, moving her away from my doorway. Now, you need to get gone so I can get some sleep before your father finds you outside my room and I end up next to my mother. Gigi stares up at me, eyes glistening in the bright light.
You want to talk about her?
I shake my head. Another time, maybe once we're settled, but not tonight.
Okay, but I'm always here to talk,
she says sweetly, and I want to wrap my body around hers, surrounding myself with the goodness and warmth only she can offer. Night, darling. I fight the urge to plant my lips on hers, letting all the day's shit leak out into that kiss.
Night, Pike,
she whispers and takes a step back, staring at me like she's pleading with me to give her what I want to. But I can't because I want to live to breathe another day. I'll be right next door.
Got it.
I dip my chin, waiting for her to disappear through her doorway before I take a step inside the bedroom, ready for this day to be fucking over with. Tomorrow starts a whole new shit show, one filled with Gigi's family, Tiny and the disciples, and us running for our lives, ducking for cover in a den of sin.
Chapter 17. Gigi. Don't you think this is excessive? I ask Uncle Thomas, which earns me a hard stare in the rearview mirror. I mean, 7 cars behind us is a bit extreme. Even you have to agree with me. I turn to Pike, but he doesn't say a word, because he's not rocking any boat, especially not after the way my uncles and father gave him shit before we left Izzy's house.
7 cars and 20 men is not excessive when you're dealing with a man like DeSantis,
Uncle James says as he sits beside Uncle Thomas in the front seat of the car. Pike's hand finds mine in the darkness, and he squeezes my fingers.
They're just being safe. Don't give me no shit, little girl,
James barks. That's my new name, little girl. I thought I'd grown out of it about the time I started to grow tits, but now it's back, and I have a feeling it's not going anywhere either.
If I get word that you try to leave that compound,
you'll spank me, I sass, smirking as soon as his eyes cut to mine in the mirror again. Uncle James and Izzy get their freak on. I know all about their sex life now after finding his profile on a BDSM website I'd used for research when I had to write a paper for my sexual psychology class at FSU. The textbook only went so deep, and the library was absolutely no help because many of the books they carried were by men who preferred the missionary position and knew nothing of real kink. So I went right to the source, clicked my way through the biggest kinkster site I could find. And a few clicks later, and I was on Master James's page. Looking at shit I could never unsee and learning things I never wanted to know. That's not something you can just wipe out of your head. Can't erase the images and words without any amount of alcohol. And I should know, because I tried and failed.
Fucking hell, Thomas mutters, shaking his head. You have a mouth on you sometimes.
I'm just practicing for my stint at the Disciples' compound. I figure I can't walk in there all meek and mild. I have to be balls to the wall, ready to sling some shit with the best of them. Yeah? Pike's eyes flash as I glance at him with a big smile.
Fuck,
he groans, which only makes my smile even bigger.
It's best if you stay in your room,
James says. Like that's gonna fucking happen. So I keep poking, because I have to do something to pass the time, and this drive has officially turned into the longest one of my life. Why didn't you just lock us up instead, Uncle James? I mean, if you want us to be prisoners, why not just keep us home, locked in our rooms, like the little kids you think we are?
I get you're pissed, kid, but I don't need your lip right now. When I'm trying to do everything to keep you and Pike alive, you don't like the situation?
He pauses, but I don't fill the silence.
Too fucking bad. Sometimes as adults, we have to do shit we don't want to do so we can live another day. You think a jail cell is going to be better than that compound? He barks out a bitter laugh. You have a lot to fucking learn. 3 minutes out. Thomas says into the phone, sending a voice text to everyone who's following behind.
All still, all clear,
my father's voice says back. And I mean everyone. Not only are my other uncles and dad in the car behind us, but so are the guys from Alpha. Even Uncle Bear tagged along for the ride because he's down with anything that could end up with his ass shot. The man is crazy, searching for danger and driving my great-aunt Fran absolutely batshit crazy. I promise I won't cause trouble, I say softly, knowing my fate is sealed and our imprisonment within the walls of the compound probably won't be as bad as I'm making out.
Just stick by Pike. He lived at the compound for a few years and knows what situations to steer you clear of.
So, you want me at Pike's side at all times? I clarify because it's sounding like I have the stamp of approval to be in Pike's bed.
Gigi.
James warns, knowing where I'm going because of course he does.
She's trying to get me killed,
Pike whispers. I squeeze his fingers, trying to hide my laughter, because this shit is heavy. I'm using the only coping mechanism I have, my humor and my sarcasm. Who wants to be running for their life? Not me. Who wants to hide out because there might be a bullet with their name on it? Again, not me. The only upside to this entire situation is that I'll have Pike at my side. But if he thinks he's bossing me around like I'm his woman, he has another thing coming.
Let's go over a few things before you step out of this car.
Of course. I roll my eyes, getting a hand squeeze from Pike, because he's not happy either, but somehow he's remained silent.
Absolutely no drugs.
Uncle James.
I'm serious, Gigi. They're into some heavy shit there. Stuff is just lying around, easy to get and even easier to take. If I get word that you're sniffing coke or taking some shit you shouldn't be taking, I'll have your ass back in this car so fast.
I promise, Uncle. I've never taken anything before, and I don't plan to start now. Pike raises his eyebrows because my admission has to be shocking to everyone in the car, especially him. I mean, what person my age hasn't at least dabbled in drugs besides me? Probably no one, except Tamara. It has to do with the way our parents raised us. And the fear of them finding out and the ass-chewing we'd both get over it after a very lengthy and boring-as-fuck punishment.
No drinking either,
Uncle Thomas adds. My mouth drops open and I gawk at the back of their heads, blinking like somehow it'll make those words any easier to swallow. You've got to give me something. I'm old enough to drink and it's legal, so I don't understand the issue.
Cut the girl some slack,
Uncle James says, which shocks the hell out of me and Thomas, too.
Are you serious right now? She's going to be in the middle of a crazy scene and you're giving her the okay to drink? She's grown, Thomas. We can't stop her from drinking.
Or doing drugs, I add, because fucking with them is too easy, and maybe if I fuck with them enough, Thomas will relent on the drinking. But I promise, I won't get drunk.
Just don't do anything stupid. Stay inside and out of sight.
I'll sit at the bar day and night. I smile, earning me a few curse words from all three in the car.
They're here,
James says, ticking his chin out the windshield at a long-ass line of bikes and an unmarked windowless van parked in an abandoned lot.
Guess we're doing this,
I whisper, glancing at Pike as he stares back at me.
We're gonna be okay.
Pike says sweetly, squeezing my fingers gently.
I promise.
I believe what he's saying. And from the huge army waiting for us, I believe they'll do what's necessary to keep us safe. Unless DeSantis brings an actual army, they'll have a hard time outnumbering the men waiting in the parking lot, and probably even more still back at the compound.
Out,
Uncle Thomas barks as soon as he throws the engine into park, letting it idle.
We're making this quick. Drop and dash.
Uncle James helps me from the back seat, looking no less badass than the other men standing in this parking lot.
Behave, Gigi.
He warns before releasing my hand. I love you, and don't want anything bad to happen to you.
Something goes sideways, and we're all going to be in the shit.
I swallow the lump his words cause to lodge in my throat. The last thing I want is for my entire family to be in the proverbial shit because I slept with a guy who has a questionable father and a possible order for his assassination. I'll be good. I promise. I rasp. He gives me a quick nod before stalking toward a giant man with a pot belly, no doubt caused by all types of excessive drinking. I assume it's Tiny, because that would make total sense as there's nothing small about him. My father is at my side before I can follow Uncle James.
This is it,
he says, balling his hands into fists as his eyes dart to Pike and then back at me.
I've said what I needed to say.
I don't correct him and tell him it was more of a lecture than a good old-fashioned chat. My dad chewed my ear off for hours about my trip to Daytona and throwing myself in the path of countless bikers and into the arms of one in particular. I'm sorry this is happening, Daddy. I never meant to cause any trouble. His face softens.
Baby. Sometimes trouble finds us, no matter how hard we try to stay away. This isn't your fault. It's not Pike's fault, either.
I blink up at him in surprise. You're not pissed anymore? His jaw ticks, which answers my question before he even opens his mouth.
I'm not happy about any of this. Pike and I will be having a long talk when you two are back home.
So, he is still pissed, but at least he isn't talking about murdering the guy anymore. In my book, that's progress. For my dad, that's a huge step. The man has the patience of a saint sometimes, but when it comes to men and his daughters, he has zero. I've probably had it easier than my sisters will, because I'm like the trial kid, where they can fuck up and see what works, tweaking their plans for the next in line. Luna and Rosie aren't going to stand a chance, but they're crafty little shits, even at their age, and will adapt easily before my father knows what hit him. Go easy on him, Daddy. My father's eyebrows draw together, causing the wrinkles on his forehead to deepen.
You want me to go easy on Pike?
Yo, we gonna do this or what? Eyes are everywhere and I don't feel like being a sitting duck.
Tiny yells across the parking lot.
Gigi.
Pike calls, motioning for me to move my ass before things start to get heated. I'm coming. I wave and stare back up into my father's piercing eyes. Pike's no different from you. And I'm no different from Mom. I pop up on my tiptoes, planting a kiss on my father's cheek, and throwing my arms around his shoulders, squeezing him tightly. Well, maybe I'm a little different from Mom, because I have two kick-ass parents.
Baby,
he whispers, wrapping his arms around my back and holding me so tight I can barely breathe.
Go. Stay safe. Don't do anything stupid.
I nod, pulling out of his embrace ever so slowly. I love you, Daddy.
I love you too, baby girl. One call a day to me on the burner phone, you understand?
I'll call around noon every day, I promise. I start to walk backward. But don't worry so much. I won't do anything stupid, and these guys? I pitch my thumb over my shoulder toward the horde of badass bikers. We'll keep us safe.
Tiny Gigi. Gigi Tiny.
James says, looking between the two of us as I walk toward them, almost faltering when I get close enough to realize the true size of Tiny. Holy fuck, I whisper. Well, aren't you a big fella? I wink, throwing that out there because I know bikers, and they love a compliment. Tiny's lip twitches ever so slightly, but the man keeps up his tough guy exterior with his arms crossed, making him look even bigger and downright scary.
She'll do fine,
he tells James, like I'm not even standing there. James extends his hand to Tiny, and the men shake as I turn my gaze toward Pike, who's also shaking hands with a man about his age and his size, but with a bald head and a tattoo across his forehead that does nothing except make him look so frightening. I can't imagine getting pussy is real easy.
You.
Tiny juts his chin at me as soon as we make eye contact.
Ass in the van. We gotta roll.
And Pike? I ask, because where he's going, so am I. Whether Tiny or any of these other bikers agrees.
He's in the van too. Can have you being seen before we get you within our walls.
Sure thing, boss man. I smile at the big guy. Because if it's the last thing I do, I'll get the old bastard to smile back.
She's a handful,
Uncle James tells him, shrugging his shoulders and throwing out his arms like he doesn't know how to handle me and is sorry to put me off on someone else.
I got a kid her age, but mine isn't so pleasant. Anyway, Pike will keep her ass in line, and if he doesn't, I'll make sure she's under control.
I roll my eyes at their conversation, and Pike mutters,
"Good fucking luck,"
at my side.
Let's get this shit show on the road, boys.
I wave my hand in the air and look at Pike with a smirk. This is going to be one hell of a time. Pike keeps step with me as I stalk toward the van.
This isn't a vacation, darling.
Don't give a fuck. We're spending time in a biker compound, and I plan to enjoy the fuck out of it, because I'm not spending all day in my room worrying about some asshole trying to kill us. Now turn around, put a smile on your face, and wave to my family. I spin on my heels just outside the back door of the van, my eyes sweeping across the line of cars brimming with my family and the alpha guys. I wave a little too happily, which earns me more than one glower. Bye, I love you, I call out, knowing they'd all cuss me out if they could, and probably will the next time they see me. My father's near the car talking to Uncle Thomas, shaking his head at my antics, knowing shit isn't going to be as PG as he hopes.
Just behave, kid,
he yells out, knowing damn well there's not a snowball's chance in hell that's going to happen.
Now get your ass in the van and get the fuck out of here.
I salute him before crawling inside, nestling against the sidewall of the filthy van. They could have at least cleaned up a little bit, seeing as they were going to be transporting two people in here instead of whatever the fuck was here before us.
We're only 20 minutes away,
Pike says as he settles next to me, legs outstretched and his shoulder touching mine. Good. I could use a drink. I plaster a smile on my face because I don't want my father or uncles to know. I'm terrified.
Already?
He asks, staring at me as the door is slammed shut. Already? I gawk at Pike, happy I don't have to put on a good show anymore. We're in some deep shit, Pike. What the fuck do you mean already? Don't you want to drink that shit away? Pike shakes his head.
I have to stay focused. Shit can happen at any time. And I don't want to be three sheets to the goddamn wind when all hell breaks loose. They come for you. I need to be ready. I'll throw myself in front of whatever they hurl in our direction, shielding you so you can walk away without a scratch.
My mouth's hanging open as I blink at Pike. Like I'm trying to focus, but everything's crystal clear. You'd give your life for me? I whisper, as Tiny slams the front door, shrouding us in darkness.
I'd give everything for you, darling.
Chapter 18. Pike.
This place is like Disney World for crack whores, career criminals, and lost souls,
Gigi says casually at my side, almost making me spit my mouthful of beer across the bar. Keep your voice down. I wipe my lips with the back of my hand, glancing around to figure out if anyone overheard.
They can't hear above this classic rock, Pike. Half of them are probably hard of hearing, and the other half are so trashed they're probably unable to form coherent thoughts.
You're on a roll tonight, sweetheart. I lift my mug, glancing over my shoulder at a few guys who are sitting close, most likely assigned the task of keeping an eye on us while we're under their protection. I'll have to talk to Tiny about that. While I appreciate his concern and security when we're within these walls, hidden from view, we don't need extra eyes on us, watching our every move.
Gigi most certainly doesn't need any men loitering near her, making her feel any more uncomfortable than she already does.
They your friends?
I shake my head. Nope, never seen them before. I haven't been around here in years. Based on the lack of patches, I'd say they're prospects.
Oh, I saw that on television,
she says, confirming everything I assumed she thought this place would be.
How long do they have to do that?
As long as Tiny and the guys want them to.
There's no time limit?
Babe, this isn't a job. Bikers don't put time on anything unless there's money involved.
Where's the little fucker?
A familiar voice says, and we both turn, watching him finish tucking his cock into his pants before he zips his fly.
I guess you're the little fucker, huh?
Gigi giggles, peering at me over her shoulder. I set my beer down, climbing off the stool to greet Morris before he sets eyes on Gigi and tries to get his hands on her, too. Morris, looking good, man.
Morris?
Gigi asks, not hiding her shock that the guy with the crazy-ass salt-and-pepper hair and goatee to match doesn't have a biker name like the rest of the guys. Morris shakes my hand and pulls me in for a bear hug before slapping my back so hard I'm almost winded.
Who's this fine piece of ass you brought with you, kid?
This is Gigi, my girl, Morris. Don't start no shit and there won't be no shit. A slow, wide smile spreads across Morris's face, showing his white teeth with a big enough gap between the two front ones. It's hard to mistake him for someone else. Morris throws his hands up as he steps away from me, and his eyes sweep over Gigi again.
Wait a second. Isn't she the chick from...
Yeah, man, don't say it. It's a long-ass story.
Hello?
Gigi calls out, waving her hand at Morris and me because we're talking about her like she isn't sitting right there, and she hates nothing more than being ignored. Morris slides next to her, moving onto the bar stool so smoothly it's like he practiced the maneuver 1,000 times.
You're even more beautiful than the last time I laid eyes on you.
She blinks at him in confusion, moving back slightly when he reaches for her hand and brings it to his lips.
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
You probably don't remember a lot, Mama. You were pretty trash the night I met you, and damn fucking mouthy, too.
Morris laughs, placing a soft kiss on the top of her hand and getting a growl from me. Gigi laughs, looking like a little kid next to the old man who will stick his dick in just about anything as long as he can get off.
It was spring break. I was letting loose.
And so you did, sweetheart.
Morris grins, eyes only on her and not on me at all. Gigi grabs her drink as soon as Morris releases her hand and rests her chin in the palm of her free hand, elbow propped against the bar.
Why, Morris? Why don't you have a tough name like the rest of the guys?
Morris grins at Gigi, motioning to the prospect behind the bar for a drink, but he never breaks eye contact with her.
Because every MC has a Tiny, Rooster, Reaper, and so on, but only the disciples have a Morris.
Gigi's nose wrinkles.
That's the reason?
Doll, I'm one of a kind. Who wants to be lumped in with those sorry fuckers when you can be the only one?
Gigi shrugs, lifting the drink to her lips, and his eyes follow the movement. It's time to shut down the flirt fest Morris is having with my girl, so I slide in behind her, wrapping my arm around her middle and hauling her ass backwards so she's pressed flush against me.
You happy to see me, baby?
She asks playfully, tossing a glance over her shoulder.
I figured I needed to remind Morris who you belong to, darling. I whisper in her ear, causing her to shiver, but my gaze is on Morris. I don't want this dirty old man to get the wrong idea.
My head only has room for wrong ideas, Morris says with a laugh. Now let's celebrate you coming home, asswad, and get shit-faced drunk, telling stories about back in the day.
Gigi bounces on her stool, sending shockwaves through my system from the way her ass is rubbing on my cock.
Fuck yeah, that's the best idea I've heard tonight.
Gigi doesn't want to hear about all that boring shit, Morris. I hiss, because he's trying to start trouble. It's what he's best at, after all. If shit's going down, Morris is smack dab in the middle, stirring the pot, making sure the shit stays moving.
I very much want to hear about the good old days, baby. Hush your mouth.
Gigi throws a wink at me over her shoulder.
I could spend all night telling Pike stories.
Don't you have a woman to satisfy? I raise an eyebrow.
Morris shakes his head, grabbing the beer as soon as the red-headed prospect sets the bottle in front of him. She's passed out. Figuring the session we just had, she'll be out for a couple of hours if she even wakes up at all.
You're a dirty old man, Morris.
Gigi grips my knee like she's going to keep me quiet. He's old, all right, I mutter, reaching for my beer with the hand that isn't locked around her waist because nothing is going to make me let go of her.
I think this calls for tequila,
Gigi says to Morris, scooting backward, knowing exactly what she's doing because she's always thinking ahead. My kind of girl, Morris smirks. Maybe we should just go to bed. I want her out of the common room because the real shit hasn't even begun. The night's young, and the guys aren't as shit-faced as she thinks.
No, Pike, we're not going anywhere until we catch up with Morris here. So settle in, cowboy, and get comfortable.
Morris is laughing so hard he's almost fallen off his stool.
I can see why you like this one so much, kid. She's mouthy and bears those kitten claws.
Morris, baby,
Gigi replies, laying her hand on his arm.
I'm not a kitten, sweetheart.
Morris tips his head toward her, grinning like I've never seen the man grin before.
See? Mouthy as fuck.
I look toward the ceiling, cursing under my breath. The long night just became longer because once these two get going, there's no stopping them until someone's passed out.
Three tequilas,
Gigi tells the prospect as he walks by, delivering a handful of beers to the guys at the other end of the bar. Long-ass fucking night, I whisper, pulling on my beer, swallowing down the bitter liquid along with the sour taste this entire evening is leaving in my mouth.
Have a fucking sense of humor, Pike. Did you lose your balls somewhere around Orlando?
Gigi chuckles, turning her head so her lips are so close to mine I could silence her with a kiss.
Let me have a little fun, Pike. I know you have a past. Hell, so do I. I don't know a lot about you, and I want to hear what Morris has to say. Don't shit on my parade, you dig?
I dig. That's not the end of the conversation, even if she wants it to be. Just remember, whatever he says, I jut my chin toward him. It's probably bullshit.
I never bullshit,
Morris interrupts, staring at me over the lip of his beer bottle.
Well, almost never.
If you learn something you don't like tonight, you tuck that shit away and forget about it. I'm not the same punk kid I was when I lived here surrounded by these men 5 years ago. You dig?
I dig.
Her eyes sparkle and drop to my mouth, and she pulls the corner of her bottom lip between her teeth, making me want to haul her ass into the back room and slide something else between those beautiful lips.
Now, Morris,
she says, turning away from me quickly because she knows exactly what's on my mind.
Start at the beginning. How did Pike end up living with the disciples? Didn't know you guys welcomed anyone into your world.
Morris snaps his fingers at the prospect who's still fumbling around behind the bar and hasn't delivered the tequila Gigi ordered.
We don't usually take in strays.
I roll my eyes because I know he's going to lay the shit on way thicker than it really went down. The reality of the situation is much more boring than he's going to tell her. He's going to glorify the entire thing, probably saying he rescued me from the side of the road like a wounded animal.
We were pulling this job up in Jacksonville,
he starts, at least getting that part right, but I know it's about to go sideways.
Some crazy-ass shit went down, guns came out.
For fucking real?
Gigi gasps.
For real, kid. Then this dumbass,
he ticks his chin toward me.
Decides he's going to jump in front of the bullets because his slow Tennessee ass can't move fast enough to get the fuck down.
Gigi turns, looking at me with wide eyes.
The scar on your shoulder?
I nod, gritting my teeth because one of the fuckers shot me, not giving a fuck that I was an innocent bystander in the entire thing. I was filling my tank with gas, minding my own business, when they decided to open fire. I didn't have a chance to duck before I took one in the upper right shoulder.
When shit died down, Pike was still standing there, holding his arm, glaring at me like it was my fault he was bleeding. We had words, and the fucking punk didn't care that I had a gun in my hand because he kept barking at me about how I put a hole in his body.
Morris laughs, running his fingers through the tip of his goatee. He pauses when the kid finally sets down three tequila shots, but is still moving like he has lead in his shoes.
About fucking time, Morris barks, shooing the guy away when he lingers a little too long. What are we drinking to, kids?
Gigi hands me a shot, but doesn't give me her eyes. To new friends and old times, she tells him, lifting her shot in the air. They clink glasses as I watch Gigi throw back the tequila like she's been doing it for years.
Now, finish the story. What happened after he had words with you?
I figured the kid had a pair of balls on him, so frickin' big he could be something to us. So, I had two choices.
What were they?
She asks, not giving him a chance to finish.
I could end his life right there, or bring his sorry, bleeding ass back here to get patched up and figure out what to do with his mouthy ass afterward.
Aw, she coos. You totally rescued him.
He fucking shot me, I scowl. Morris places his hand on his chest, trying his best to look innocent.
I did not shoot your ass, kid. Wasn't my bullet you jumped in front of that night.
Don't mind him.
Gigi jerks her thumb at me, and I tighten my hold around her waist, reminding her these men aren't playthings. Morris may not have been the one who shot me, but someone in this room fucking did. They didn't give two shits that I was innocent with piss-poor timing, filling my tank when they decided to play cops and robbers at the gas station in a seedy part of town. There isn't a man in this room who hasn't drawn blood from another human being without so much as a backward glance at the carnage they inflicted or the death they left in their wake. They give zero fucks about human life. Their world revolves around money, drugs, pussy, and the Brotherhood, and not in that order either.
And?
She leans forward, hanging on his every word.
So this kid...
He laughs, shaking his head like he doesn't even believe what he's about to say.
He's yelling at me, poking me in the shoulder while I've got my gun in one hand like I'm just going to stand here and take his shit. I didn't know what to do, so I punched him right where he got hit, sending his ass to the floor in a flurry of curse words that would make the devil himself blush.
You fucking punched him in his injured shoulder?
Morris shrugs.
The kid wouldn't shut up about how I shot him. Figured I'd give him something to be angry with me about. Plus, I needed him to shut the fuck up for a few minutes so I could get his ass into the back of the van.
Did you know you were going to keep him?
She asks. What the fuck? I hiss, shaking my head. I wasn't a puppy, Gigi.
Shut up, she tells me. Morris and I are talking.
Three more tequilas, I tell the prospect. Figuring the only way I'm going to get her to stop talking to Morris is to get her so shit-faced drunk she'll pass the fuck out.
Welcome to the party, Pike,
Gigi teases, wiggling her ass right against my dick. I flatten my palm against her stomach, moving my mouth near her ear. Be careful, darling. I'm not above throwing you over my shoulder and hauling your ass into my room and putting something in that sassy little mouth of yours.
Is that a promise or a threat?
She asks with a wicked gleam in her eyes. Both. I've never been more serious in my life.
Such a big talker,
she teases. I do the only thing I can. Moving quickly, I throw her over my shoulder like a sack of potatoes and march toward my old room.
Put me down,
she screeches.
Help!
No one pays any attention to her pleas for help. I even get a few high fives as I carry her ass to the back. Ready to do exactly what I promised.
Chapter 19. Gigi. He has one hand on my ass, only moving the damn thing when he smacks the hands of the other assholes in the room. I wiggle, trying like hell to get out of his hold and off his shoulder, but that only causes him to tighten his grip around my leg.
You're not getting out of this one, darling,
he drawls, stalking on heavy feet, making my tits smack against his back with every step. You're an asshole.
Speaking of asshole,
he says, running a finger along the crease of my ass as we finally make it to the hallway. I stiffen, squeezing my ass cheeks together as tightly as possible. Don't you fucking dare, I screech, lifting my head and catching sight of all the guys in the compound, laughing and watching us with total amusement. I give the biker assholes my middle finger, scowling at them for reveling in the spectacle Pike is putting on, even though I know I'm not helping it. You're not touching my ass.
I promise you love it,
His hand massages my cheeks, but I have them on lockdown, just like they're going to stay.
I'll make you want it. Always.
That's the problem. I know if Pike does it, I'll love the hell out of it. There hasn't been anything he's done to my body that I didn't want more of. Craving it since the second I ran for coffee and never went back. He's skilled and generous, unlike anyone I've been with before. Although my list is super short and kind of embarrassing. I reach down, trying to get my hands on his ass so I can pinch him hard enough that maybe I'll be able to break free. The only thing I want is for you to put me down and let me finish my drink. I grit out, stretching as far as I can, but it's no use. His body is too long for my short everything, even to get near anything worth pinching.
You're done drinking,
he says, like he's the boss, which is laughable. I go limp, knowing there's no use. I'm going nowhere except where Pike is taking me. Where the fuck is your room? Another country? Pike laughs, making my body shake with his.
We're almost there, baby. You in a hurry to have my cock in you?
A door opens and Pike comes to a dead stop.
Calling it a night?
A man asks, and I crane my neck, trying to see, but damn my size.
Taking my woman to bed. Won't be back out until the morning. Morris put your shit back out and cleaned. Should feel like home for you, kid. You enjoy yourself.
I growl. Hello? Want to help me here? The man laughs, moving around Pike and crouches down to my level.
Looks like you're doing just fine, sweetheart.
Tiny says. You're all fuckers, I hiss, which only gets me a small laugh and a head shake from Tiny, as he goes back to standing on the other side of Pike and away from me.
You got your hands full with this one, son. I hope you know what you're doing. Just reminding her who she belongs to, Tiny. You have a good night,
Pike says. Who she belongs to? Ugh. My father says shit like that all the time about my mother. Come to think of it, every man in my family says macho bullshit like that, and I roll my eyes every time. Pike starts moving and I lift my head, catching Tiny's smile. The first one I've seen him crack since I met him tonight. Badass MC biker president or not, he gets a middle finger too before Pike turns a corner, opens a door, and we're suddenly in darkness. Will you put me down now?
Nope,
he replies as he switches on the light, making everything in the tiny space visible.
Well, fuck.
I press my hands to his lower back, lifting my head up farther than before, and try to take in the sparse room covered with all things Pike. There are posters and artwork lining the walls, a twin bed along a black painted wall, some furniture that had to be secondhand, and not one goddamn window for any type of natural light. Is this a closet? My closet at my parents' place is twice as big as his bedroom. I couldn't imagine living in here on a daily basis without going a little mad from the lack of sunlight and the fact that it's the size of a prison cell.
It has everything we need, babe.
He finally relaxes his hold on my leg, allowing me to slide down his front, relishing the way his hardness feels against my body. When my feet touch the floor, Pike's hands are on my hips and his eyes are on mine. He's so beautiful like this. Hair wild, his blue-green eyes burning with need, and those lips begging for mine. Pike, I'm trying to kill a little time, because now that we're alone, I know there's no turning back. Pike shakes his head.
Been thinking about this since you left me,
he says, and my breath catches in my throat.
Been thinking about the softness of your skin.
He runs his finger along the top edge of my jean shorts and across the sensitive skin on my stomach. Goosebumps form everywhere, scattering across my flesh like they're reaching for his touch. Pike, I say again, but my voice is needy. Even I can hear the way his touch affects me, and I'm sure it isn't lost on him either.
Tell me to stop, and I will,
he says, licking his lips, and my gaze drops to his mouth, remembering all the ways he brought me pleasure. He bends his neck, bringing those lips to my mouth, whispering,
I need you, darling.
I'm a goner. It's easier to pretend I hate him when he's not about to kiss me, staring at me like he's been in a desert without water, and I'm the oasis. Kiss me, I whisper, staring into his eyes, losing myself a little more. I barely get the words out before his lips crash down on mine, his hand sliding to my ass and pulling me flush against him. In the last 15 months, I haven't forgotten how he tasted, or the velvety softness of his tongue, no matter how hard I tried. I slide my hands up his arms, tangling my fingers in his hair, holding him to me like he's my lifeline. My knees weaken as his tongue sweeps into my mouth, giving me exactly what I've craved and wanted since Daytona. Pike turns, slamming the door behind us, but I don't even flinch at the noise, because I'm too lost in the way he's kissing me to care about anything else around us. The world could crumble and I wouldn't move from this spot, away from his body, away from his lips. His hands are on my ass, lifting me in the air. I wrap my legs around his waist, like they were always meant to be there as he walks us backward. The kiss deepens, becoming more demanding as his hands move to my back, sliding up my tank top, finding my bra strap. I'm in his lap, his cock to my pussy, separated only by our clothes as he sits on the bed working quickly to unclasp my bra. I pull back, gasping for air as I stare at the handsome man underneath me. Did you bring protection? I whisper. Pike nods as he grabs the bottom of my tank top and I lift my hands because I want this more than anything right now. You knew I'd sleep with you? I ask through the material, as the cool air hits my skin and the bra goes with the shirt, both thrown to the floor behind me.
I hoped,
he says, his hungry eyes traveling across my skin for a moment before he pulls my head back down, pressing his lips to mine. I move my hands to his sides, reaching under the thin t-shirt, wanting and needing his warmth and hardness. I've touched myself hundreds of times since I was last in his arms, trying to recreate the feeling only he had given me. I'd failed miserably. Nothing could replicate the way he touched me, how he kissed me, or the way he made me melt into his body. As I lift his shirt, our mouths separate, and I lean back, taking in his ink and the lines of his taut stomach and firm shoulders. I only get a glimpse before Pike flips me, putting me on my back and crawls between my legs, settling in like he's always meant to be there. The sense of shame and uncertainty I had every time I was with Eric isn't there with Pike. I have no doubts he likes what he sees and loves everything he feels. I'm not ashamed of my nudity, and any worries I had about my inexperience were wiped away after our time together in Daytona. Pike lifts up on one arm, staring down at me like I'm a goddess.
Dreamed about having you under me again, darling.
I run my fingers through the coarse hair of his beard, staring up at the man I know is about to give me so much pleasure, I'm not sure I'll ever recover. Me too, I confess, because there's no reason to pretend otherwise. He runs his hand down my neck, along my collarbone, over the swell of my breast. My eyes drift closed and I sigh, letting every sensation wash over me, memorizing each touch in case I never feel them again. Warmth covers my nipple and I open my eyes, peering down my body and finding Pike with his mouth attached. A small moan escapes my lips as our eyes lock, and the pleasure his tongue's delivering shoots straight between my legs, making me squirm. Without moving his mouth, Pike shuffles over, resting his front to my side. His hand is at my shorts, working the button and zipper quickly, and I lift my ass because I want nothing more than to feel whatever he's about to give. My shorts and the fancy lace undies I wore, just in case this would happen, are thrown to the end of the bed, discarded without even a glance. He moves his hand to my mound, cupping my pussy, making the ache turn into a burning throb. "More, Pike," I beg. My insides are like a raging inferno, and only his fingers can extinguish the flame. He doesn't tease me or make me beg any more than I already have, as he slides his fingers between my legs, and I rock into his touch.
"Greedy,"
he murmurs against my breast, and I can't argue with him. I'm greedy as hell when it comes to him. I'm even needier, which should make me worried. But I want an orgasm so badly, I don't bother to think too much. My knees fall to the bed as his fingers slide back and forth, capturing my wetness. I lift my ass, wanting more than he's giving, growing increasingly impatient with each pass of his fingers. He slides one finger slowly inside, filling me, but it's not enough. I want more. I need more. I want the delicious ache of being filled, stuffed, owned. I arch my back, pushing my bottom toward his hand, letting him know I want more than he's giving. I don't have to wait long before he adds another finger, stretching me more than I've been stretched since the last time I was in his bed. Pike is exceptional at finger fucking, like the best of the best, or at least the best I've ever had. He knows how to work every spot, sending me soaring over the edge faster than I ever have before. My fingers fist the soft blanket, squeezing until my knuckles turn white, as if it'll help the orgasm I want so badly to come easier.
"My girl wants this,"
Pike whispers against my skin, eyes moving to my face with a smile. I seal my eyes shut, pushing my nipple against his lips, hoping he'll get the hint. He doesn't. He keeps staring, fingers working in and out of me, his thumb brushing against my clit with not enough pressure to have me singing the high notes, praising his work, and for the waves to rock my body.
"My girl needs this," he says, pressing the pad of his thumb flat against my clit.
I inch my bottom upward, rolling my hips, trying to get his thumb to move in the way I need to give me the damn orgasm. "Enough with the my girl stuff, and put your mouth to better use." Pike's smile widens, and he slides down my body, fingers still inside me, thumb not giving me what I want. He settles his shoulders between my legs and pushes my legs farther apart.
"Been waiting forever to taste you."
"For fuck's sake," I groan, bucking against his fingers because they've stopped, although they're still inside me. "You have 2 seconds to put your heaven." That's what it feels like when Pike swipes his tongue over my clit, rolling the tip around to trace the outside. "Fuck, yeah." I drop my head back, closing my eyes and letting the sensation wash over me. The warmth of his mouth, the wetness of his lips, the hardness of his fingers. It all works together in perfect harmony and is everything I remember. He curls his fingers, rubbing my G-spot as he seals his lips around my cunt in the most perfect way. God, yes. Right there. The goosebumps from earlier return as every fiber of my being seems to be standing at attention, wanting this as badly as I do. I open one eye, staring down my body again and loving the sight. There's nothing sexier than Pike nestled between my legs, eating like he's a starved man, fucking me like it's his sole purpose in life, and me lying back and taking it all
in.